Hello, everyone. We're going to get started today. If I look a little strange, it's for two reasons. Number one, I normally have lights on and my app is broken. My husband's not here to fix it. So I couldn't figure out how to turn the damn beautiful lights on. So I may look a little red, or just, let me just say, good lighting goes a long way, y'all. And then I want to promote Coach Lisa. Also, I'm trying not to wear much makeup right now. My eyes have just been irritated lately. So I've got liner and mascara on, but eyeshadow, it's a no right now. So today is Q&A day. We are going to, I'll answer some questions. I want to talk to you a little bit about the holidays, since if you are in the States, you know that Thanksgiving is tomorrow. It's not even just right around the corner. It's like actually tomorrow. So we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, but this is important for all of you. I realize we are, I always tell Chris, I'm Mrs. Worldwide. I'm like Pitbull of weight loss. I would say that's pretty accurate. And so I know that we don't have people all over the world. So use this information. If we're saying Thanksgiving, please just apply it to whatever special holidays or cultural holidays that you celebrate. It's all the same. This can apply to birthdays. It can apply to anniversaries. It can apply to any holiday that you celebrate. So make sure that you don't check out just because you're like, oh, they're over there talking about Thanksgiving again, and we don't do Thanksgiving. We're up here in Canada. And I say that because Lisa, Coach Lisa, is from Canada. I was talking to someone yesterday. They said, they asked me, while I pull up my notes, they asked me, they said, does your team work on like Thursday and Friday? And I said, some do. And they're like, what? And I said, well, first of all, we have one person that's actually in Canada, so she don't give a fuck about our Thanksgiving. And I was like, number two, sometimes people just don't want it. Like in my family, it's really a big deal for my mom, and it's like a big deal for my brother and them. So they're all cooking Thanksgiving today at their house. We're all working here. And then tomorrow we're going to go out to dinner, but Thanksgiving has never been a big deal for us. It just like it with me, Chris and Logan, it's just not. So I always tell all my friends, like, yeah, some of my team members choose to work. They'd rather take that day off sometime other than on Thanksgiving. They don't want to be spending time with their family. They don't give a shit. So, or their family's not around anymore. So just always be aware. I think for all of you, and I think this is important when it comes to eating and stuff. Let me turn this message off. One of the things I think is important is don't go into your holidays thinking everyone feels exactly the same way you do about them. Sometimes y'all walk in and you think everybody should be happy and everybody should be celebrating and everybody should be. And you might have family members that the holidays are incredibly sad for them. I know for, I'll give you a good example. Let's pretend that like we actually do give a shit in the Crabtree household about Thanksgiving. Chris's mom lost her father and her mother right around Thanksgiving. It is a very painful holiday for her. And so we typically just tell her like, hey, if you want to be with us, we're here for you. If you prefer to be alone, we support that too. Like, I don't take it personally that Chris's mom doesn't want to celebrate with us and stuff. I think sometimes what we forget is that everybody has their own thoughts, opinions, and perceptions about the holidays, about food, about people. They have their own thoughts and feelings and perceptions about themselves. They also have their own thoughts and feelings and perceptions about you. We get into trouble when we expect everyone to think exactly like we do. Nobody, I don't care if you grew up in the same house. No two people ever have the exact same life experience. That, you know, the way that like you're treated, or the way that like maybe the certain things that you heard that maybe your sibling didn't hear. That wasn't a big deal to them, but to you it was. Everybody, when they, you know, come into adulthood, they have filtered everything in different ways. And I think the reason why I say this is I watch so many of us put ourselves through personal pain when we expect other people to show up a particular way, to say the right things, to behave a certain way, to appreciate or have gratitude for things we're doing. I have this thing about gift giving. This is just like off on a tangent, but when it comes to giving gifts, I never expect a thank you. I never expect gratitude. I don't even expect the person to like it. And it has literally been a game changer for me, because old Corinne used to buy things and do things for people in hopes that they would be happy. And if they were happy, then I allowed myself to be like, I'm okay. I am loved. I would allow, that's the only way that I would allow myself to have good thoughts about Corinne. So it was really important for other people to respond well to the things that I was doing to them, because my personal self-esteem was riding on it. And what I found was very often I would like get people things and think it was the perfect gift, or I would do things for people and think this was what they needed and all this other stuff. And they'd be like, thanks. Or sometimes they wouldn't say anything. And then one time I actually had someone say, do you care if I take this back? I really don't like it. And I had labored and toiled over what to get them. Well, every single time I felt crushed, not because of what they were doing, but because every single time they would say that, be like, I would drop into, I'm not good enough. See, here's one more thing. I can't make people happy. No matter what I do, no one's satisfied. And for me, I internalized all of that as not being good enough. That's Corinne's fault. That's not somebody else's fault. That is a reflection of Corinne, you need to set your ass down and you need to start working on the relationship with yourself. You need to love you more. You need to appreciate, like if you're hosed up because somebody doesn't appreciate the fucking turkey you made on Thanksgiving, it ain't the turkey. It ain't them. Use a mirror. My challenge to you is if you're getting butt hurt by what other people are or are not doing around you, I want you to say, like, where am I doing the exact fucking thing to myself? Where am I not thanking myself each day? Where am I not showing myself gratitude each day? Where am I not taking care of myself? Why am I so concerned with how other people are acting? How about I just shine a light on the inside? Because that's the shit that really needs to get fixed. When you have an amazing relationship with yourself, when you can love yourself, when you can like feel grateful for yourself each day, other people's shit doesn't bother you anymore. I mean, it might trigger some automatic old ass thinking, but you're real quick to call it bullshit. Like every now and then somebody won't be grateful in my family. And I will tell you, I've got a very grateful family, but every now and then I'll be like expecting like confetti and I guess unicorns to come prancing around every time I do something. And I will like instinctively get triggered to be upset. And then I just remind myself, I didn't give them this so I could be number one, so that I could be appreciated. I gave them this because I genuinely love them. And if I'm giving things, doing things, whatever, if I'm busying around doing shit because I need validation, that's where my real work starts. I need to quit doing that shit. Doing for others and stuff is not a tit for tat. Now, I'm like going off script. Poor Yasmin is the second time this month I've done this. She's pulled together beautiful notes for me and I've just started speaking from the heart, but I feel like I got to say it. People pleasers, listen up. Sometimes we want to people please. I don't care if you're people pleasing. Here's what I care about. Are you choosing it on purpose? There are times I set aside my wants and desires for someone else, but I'm doing it because I actually want to. Sometimes I'm setting aside my wants and desires for fear of what they'll think. That's not how I want to live my life. In those moments, what I know is it is time to practice courage. It is time to practice risk of them being upset. It is time to practice curiosity. Maybe I'm fucking wrong about what they'll think. But all of you who people please, I want you, because, you know, during the holidays, this comes out loud and clear. Whether you change how you behave or not over the next 30 to 60 days, like I know we got Christmas coming up, we got Hanukkah coming up, we got Thanksgiving, we have all kinds of holidays coming up. Even if you don't change anything, you can make this year different by at least noticing what you're doing and then deciding to later write about it or take it to Ask Coaches to say, like, I've been noticing I get hurt when other people don't appreciate the things I'm doing for them. And I know that's on me because I listened to Corinne's live. It's probably on me because if I had to take a guess, if somebody's not appreciating me, when I look at my day to day, I notice I'm not appreciating myself. I'm not even appreciating other people either. No wonder it's so painful when they do it. Because it's something I desperately want to be able to do for myself. So just spend the next 30 to 60 days, spend the holidays, even if you don't change how you eat, if you don't change how you show up or anything, at least let it be different this year where you come out of the holidays noticing what you most need to work on in 2023. Sometimes it takes us a little while to just see what we need to change before we actually have the courage to change it. We just need to see it enough to be like, okay, I refuse to beat myself up over it because I want to put myself in a position to just understand it. And that's one other thing. I just keep opening up a can of worms on things I want to talk about. A lot of you need to stop beating yourself up over the way you think and the way you feel and the things that are happening. You need to transition really quick into, I no longer beat myself up for this stuff. I want to transition into the person who is curious and who's seeking to understand, why do I do it in the first place? What's going on here? And why does this make sense? So I'm going to give you a lesson. Most of you do not know, but I am going through a really advanced coaching certification right now. It's by someone who actually got certified by my mentor, Brooke Castillo, but she's got what's called an advanced deep dive into coaching. And it is way outside Corinne's box. And this is the reason why I decided to go for it. It's, y'all know me, like when I signed up for it, I told my coach, it's her actual program. I said, now I'm going to apologize straight up. I know this is a woo program. Like we've had to do yoga nidra. I don't even know what's happening this weekend, but we were told to bring a candle. I was like, what? We're bringing a candle. But we've been doing a lot of coaching around like childhood trauma, understanding our feelings, embodying things, which is the stuff that I've been wanting to learn. Anything that I'm just a big believer in, anything that makes you super uncomfortable is probably something you at least want to expose yourself to. And so I was like, I'm going to do this certification and I'm going to take what I think will be super helpful for y'all and start teaching it and start incorporating it into our stuff. The one thing we're really good at, like I'm really good at yelling at y'all. I'm really good at preaching. Like I'm a great coach. I teach master coaches inside the Life Coach School. I mean, my coaching skills are on point, but what's missing is my feeling skills. Like really helping y'all with feelings and being courageous around your feelings and expressing them and like understanding a lot of the deep rooted things that, and when I say deep rooted, please don't think we're talking about trauma. I'm just talking about shit underneath the shit. Just like when I was giving you the example of like appreciation. We're not butt hurt because people aren't appreciating us. We're not butt hurt because people aren't, serving our, being grateful and stuff. We're hurt because we make it mean something's wrong with us. And when we look underneath, even like something's wrong with me, we start looking for, well, what do you think is wrong with you? And we start solving those holes that are deep within us. And like, I want to figure out how to more quickly and more effectively, help y'all on calls and in our content, get to the root cause of a lot of your problems without it being scary, a big fucking deal, terrifying, or like you're uncovering shit that you'll never recover from. All of it has a good reason for being there. So I want to tell you what she was, it's very similar to the four N's, but this is something that you're going to hear me talk more about. And you can do this through the holidays. The first thing is, it's just like our in our four N's, we want to notice just what we are thinking. We want to notice, like, I'm feeling left out. I'm feeling pressured. Or I notice that I'm thinking, everyone's going to think I gained weight this year. I notice that I'm thinking I should eat the pie. I notice that I'm thinking it's going to be hard to be around all the food. Like, the first thing is always the noticing. The more you get to where you can notice all of your doo-doo, the more power you take back in your life to do something about the doo-doo. And you need that. So, and the thing that we want to do is, and this is really important, when we are noticing our thinking, you need to do it from this mindset. I notice I'm thinking this, and that's not a problem. All of you, please repeat after me. I notice I'm thinking this, and that's not a problem. I can promise every one of you, every single one of you, as someone who has been coached religiously for years now, I don't think any of my thoughts are a problem anymore. And that has been the most freeing thing. I just know that I have a lot of thoughts. Some are old shitties, some are not, but none of them are a problem until I make them a problem. The more that I understand, it's like sentences just come in and out of your head. They don't become a problem until you really believe them and then you start acting on them. Even if you really believe them, they're not a problem if you decide to act like the person you want to be anyway. This morning, I fucking didn't want to go to the gym. Hand on the Bible. And this happens a lot. I did not want to go to the gym. I wanted to, like, I'm writing all of the content for our January 1st workshop. And I'm like head down in this. Chris's surgery is coming up next week. If y'all are wondering why my luscious mane is gone, like I took my extensions out. I wanted to make life easier in December. I'm going to be taking care of Chris. I'm not used to running two businesses, taking care of a sick husband, and taking care of all y'all on top of taking care of my own fucking self. And I knew that I didn't want to be giving up like eating healthy, and I didn't want to be giving up going to the gym and working out because I was going to have to get a blowout. So I took my damn extensions out. And so even if like this morning, I did not want to go to the gym, but I didn't think that that thought was a problem. I just thought it was typical. I just told myself, a lot of times you do think that. There's always going to be something better to do, but that's not who you want to be. I always remind myself of the person that I want to be. And I think that that's important for all of you. Remind yourself of the person that you want to be in the face of excuses, of your normal crap that comes up. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to welcome the thought in. We're going to notice it, and we're not going to let it be a problem. The second thing that we want to do is we want to normalize it. So it's just like the four N's. She calls it acknowledging. It's what we do. It's called normalizing. We want to know, where did this thought come from? So for all of you, I promise you something. Every old shitty, the reason why we have old shitty with a smiley face is because old shitty is not trying to be mean, even if he sounds like an asshole sometimes. Old shitty literally has a good reason for being there. So ask yourself, why might I be thinking this? Where did it start? Is this something that I heard? Have I just never even thought that there's another way to think about it? Asking yourself, like, why would it be normal to think this way? Is it a protective thought? Is it trying, like, am I so, like, a lot of you don't like to plan food, right? Some of you will say, you'll have a thought, which is, I suck at planning. Let's use that one for example. Why would you think that? Because planning is not hard. You actually plan every single day. You're just planning in the moment by opening the refrigerator, taking a look and grabbing something, pulling up Uber Eats and grabbing something. That's still planning. So it ain't like you don't know what you like to eat. It ain't like you aren't going to make a decision. I've not met one person who says I suck at planning and then didn't eat for 2 weeks because they couldn't make decisions. Never has happened. So it's not even true. But why might you think I suck at planning? Probably because you have a fear of not doing it right. And it's easier to think you're bad at something than it is to risk not doing it correctly. Because you know that if you do it wrong, you're likely to beat yourself up. So it would be normal to have a thought like, I suck at planning, if the only thing that's going to happen is if you don't follow it, you're going to kick the shit out of your own ass. So we want to make sure that we watch for stuff like that. This is why we want to, like, oh, it would be really normal for me to think that if the best I got, if I don't do it correctly, is a ass whooping. Here's something that is different that we can add to normalizing, which is gratitude for the thought. Like, let's go to our planning one. I want you to think about this. Can you be thankful to yourself for having a thought like, I suck at planning? Because it's like, oh, that's how I protected myself from a beatdown. That's an amazing coping mechanism that I came up with, that my brain developed to keep me safe from me. And I'm very grateful to myself for it saying something like that, that is less hurtful than the things that I say to myself when I don't get things right. So now that I know the truth, I can quit saying I suck at planning, and I can say I am willing to plan and not beat myself up if it doesn't go according to plan. That's my next step in the weight loss journey. My next best step is to make plans, do my damnedest to follow them. And if I don't, the way that I'm going to lose weight is learning how to learn in that moment and stop the bleeding on beatdowns. And when I change that relationship with myself, I open myself up to figuring out my truest needs in those moments. Why I am switching foods. Maybe I'm opening myself up to see, like, oh, I am planning from, like, old rules, from fear. That's how you're going to lose weight. None of you are going to lose weight joining Weight Watchers when they switch their plan for the umpteenth time, or cutting out all your carbs, or signing up for some, like, hell on earth boot camp that kicks off on January 2nd, and you're allowed to eat, you know, chicken and ketchup. That's not how we're going to lose weight. We're going to lose weight when we learn how to have our own back, learn how to start solving the things that have always stopped us. That's how we'll lose weight. And so have some gratitude for yourself. Every old shitty has a purpose. And let me tell you, if you can't figure out the purpose, you go to ask coaches. Ask them. Let them help you. Y'all stop sitting on the outside thinking, ew, I don't know about my ex coaches. I don't know if I can remember to go back and check my answer. That is a sorry ass reason for not getting support and help. You have got people who are actively in the middle of their weight loss journey, who have conquered their weight loss journey, who have gone to the best coaching school in the world and who train underneath, I think, probably the best fucking weight loss coach on the planet. And I have no problems saying that because I look at a lot of asshole coaches out there and I'm just like, if this group of coaches aren't going to do it, I promise you there ain't another group out there that can. They want to help you, but you got to want to want it. So take your stuff. Ask them and let them help you. Then the last thing is that next best thought or action. Once we have some gratitude and some understanding and we've freed ourselves from thinking our thinking around the holidays is a problem, guess what we do next? We teach ourselves how to talk to ourselves. We offer another thought. And we wait for our brain to keep bringing the old one up so that every single time we can redirect our thinking to a new thought, and then we show up as the new person. That's how you train your brain to eventually start thinking like the new version of you. But you cannot sit around and think that your thinking is a problem. If you have a thought that you don't like that comes up, you're going to have to make friends with it because it's probably going to come along for the ride for a while. And it's not making your journey harder until you argue with it, until you say it shouldn't be there, until you make the thought a problem. You have the freedom to decide how you want to think about your life. And every time a thought comes into your brain that's not helpful, that you don't want, that you think needs to change, that's the opportunity to think like the person you want to be. Stop waiting for your brain to just automatically have brand new thoughts. Those old thoughts got trained and ingrained, which means you have to train and ingrain new ones if you want to be a new version of you. Okay. Let us pull up the Q&A and see what y'all are talking about. I have the thought I'm being vain when it comes to my goal weight. Can I just say, anonymous, what horseshit that is? I never think that. This morning when I was putting on my sassy top, I was at home today and I look fly. Not one time did I think I'm vain. You know what I thought? Here I am, taking good care of myself. Being the person that I like being. That's fun. All right, let's see what else you had to say. I'm at the lower end of a normal weight, have healthy blood work, and because of no BS, eat all the foods without having anything I can keep in the house or order in a restaurant. I have two teenage girls that I hide my planner from because I don't want to send a message that weight is important. How do I get past feeling vain to decide if weighing less is even a goal I want? I don't think it's vain. The thing that I'm most interested in is I'm hiding my planner because I don't want to send a message that my weight is important. You're lying to yourself. Your weight is important to you. But why is your weight being important a problem? You're making my weight is important to me equal that must mean I'm vain instead of my weight is important to me. It gives me good blood work. It gives me freedom over food. Like all those things that you just said, let's just make like when I plan, it's because being at this weight has given me this. Then you'll be free to think about, do I want to lose any more weight or not? Right now, if losing more weight only equals vanity and harming your children, you will never know if you want to weigh less or not. If being at your weight and planning your food means this affords me the life that I want to live. I'm role modeling to my daughters that food is one of those things that I just plan because it makes my life easier. It's not a big deal. Like when you change that relationship, then you'll know what you want to do. You may or may not want to lose any more weight, but you'll give yourself the freedom to be at this weight and have such a good relationship with it and the things that you do to keep your weight at this stage where you can decide, do I want more of this or not? But if you set it up to where what I'm doing and what I might want for myself, my current weight or a future weight, is a bad thing, you need to do some work on why is it a good thing? Your brain is just wrong about that. You know, it's just like to me, wanting to lose weight, like let's say that I wanted to lose weight. Wanting to lose some weight is not a shameful experience. Just like if I wanted to gain 15 pounds, I could choose not to make that shameful either. Like, I just think that our weight shouldn't be shameful, period, no matter what it is. We have the opportunity to tell ourselves at any weight the good things about us. And there's just so much more to us than just our weight. If you can't even get to a point to where you can think positive things about your weight, find the things that you can think positive about you and focus on those things, y'all. It is so much easier to take care of something you love. I just want you to think about this. If, let's say in your house, you had some tchotchkes and you had some tchotchkes that you loved. They were handed down from like your mama's mama. And it's beautiful and it's antique and it's all the things. Then you got some tchotchkes that you found at the thrift store. You don't know who the fuck owned it before you. They're kind of ugly, but you've just been too lazy to throw them out. Which one's easier to take care of? The tchotchkes that you don't like or the tchotchkes that you do like? It's the same for you as a person. It is so much easier to take care of something you love than it is to take care of something that you don't love. There's no motivation to take care of things, especially if things are hard. There's no motivation to take care of something you love or that you don't love. And I want y'all to really think about that. And I know for some of y'all, what is a tchotchke? It's like trinkets, doodads, shit you buy to like miniatures, figurines. Like just crap, knickknacks. I don't know. There's a million names for them. Like my mom, oh my God, my mom and I are so polar opposite, but my mother loves crap from the thrift store. She's always telling me about like all the things that she's got from the thrift store and like acting as if she's going to give it to me and my brother one day. And one time my brother and I, we were down visiting her in Florida. We just looked at her and said, we're going to be like bold ass honest, mammy. There's not a single thing that we're going to keep. So just know, we love you. I have pictures and video of you, but your shit, I'm not keeping it. And my brother's like, me either. And I'm going to have no guilt getting rid of any of it because I'm going to be sitting there thinking, I love my mama. I don't need this thrift store bullshit that somebody else owned before to know how much I loved my mama. She was like, but she gets it. She knows that my brother and I don't have a tchotchke love. So anyway, I want y'all to think about this when it comes to you. Rather than sitting around and whining, but I don't love myself, but it's hard for me, but I just can't see the good in me. Stop that. Just stop that. And make yourself like literally, if that is you, if you are sitting there thinking those things, but, then here's your homework. I want you over the next week to be on high alert for anything good about you. Anything. You could have a good hair day. Maybe like you are watching TV and you have a positive thought about somebody else. If you like this morning, I'll tell you something great about me. This morning, I was going to the gym. I was walking in and there was a lady carrying bags behind me and I opened both doors for her and held them. Very nice of me. I'm just polite that way. I could have just blowed in there, but I didn't. There, like, it feels good to catch yourself in pride moments. So if you want to be the kind of person eventually who takes really good care of yourself, then today you have to be the kind of person who's on the hunt for anything good about you. Because the more we can figure out how you can love yourself, the easier it will be for you to make decisions for yourself. I am regretting people mentioning and wanting to ask about my weight loss as it becomes more noticeable. Thing is, we didn't talk about my excess weight. How do I address this conversation? Well, did you want them to talk about your excess weight? Just listen to how listen to how you're saying this. It's like, but we didn't talk about it when I was overweight. Would that have made you comfortable? Like, this is like one of those, I think, one of those thoughts that your brain offers up that's just like crap. Probably not. You probably didn't want them commenting then either. But let's just do this. Let's just think about, what are the benefits of people asking me about my weight or my weight loss? Why might they be interested? And for some of you, and this is not everybody, this will be a small percentage. For some of you, you won't like the extra attention because at some point in your life, you were harmed because of being thin. Now, if that's you, that's more traumatic stuff that's probably happening. That is you building a wall thinking that, you know, when people notice, like the last time I was thin, or maybe when I was small, this often happens when people were abused, or maybe you were bullied, or maybe you were taken advantage of, or maybe you had a sibling that, like maybe your parents overly made a big deal out of you being thin while being mean to a sibling. And so you made it like you didn't want to be thin because you didn't want your sibling hurt. There's all kinds of things that could be happening there. So sometimes it's like just a smoke signal that your inner child is worried. And this is where we tell our inner child, we're safe now. It's not like it was back then. Like, my weight isn't why I was harmed. And that's really important for a lot of you. It's easy for us, especially as children, to make our weight be the problem as to why we were harmed. The problem was a douchebag. It was never our weight. But it makes sense why we would come up with that. As a child, you're trying to explain things to yourself. And an easy explanation is being thin. If that's not you, then what I would do is just say, like, well, what could their motivation be? Or even ask yourself, what is it about them asking that makes me so uncomfortable? If I had to guess, one of my favorite things to do is say, if I had to guess, what are five reasons that I would guess as to why I might be uncomfortable? And be willing to be wrong, but usually within the five, one or two will feel very true. But it takes about one or two guesses where it doesn't feel right for your brain. It's like, oh, we're just guessing. Then it feels safe to offer you the truth. So that's just an easy hack to kind of overcome any kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I want to like figure this out. If you're having a hard time, Cecilia, you can also take this to ask coaches. So you take what you asked me and say, and here are my five guesses as to why this could be uncomfortable for me. And then here are the things that I came up with as to why they might be asking. And in that, you should be able to see like, oh, I see the thought error here, because some of it will feel like negative or bad. And so then you want to just take those sentences, you run them through the four ends. So it's like, I notice, I think when people say this, I make it mean X. That's normal because. But the facts are, and here's what I want to start believing about this moving forward. Are you willing to share your Life Coach Live sentences you spoke about? Yeah, so I actually have a plan for this, Krista. I'm actually going to put it in, I think, the podcast. I'm trying to figure out where is the best place to do this. So there will be something coming out soon on it. And I will, but I've already thought about doing it in the podcast. I've also asked the Life Coach School if they will give me a recording of my presentation. And if they will give me a recording, I've asked if I could share it within my memberships. So I have a business membership for business women who are growing and scaling to, you know, like 300,000, that kind of thing. And I also have y'all over here in the weight loss side. This is more of a business talk. But it really, I used weight loss as the prime example for most of it. So I really think it would be helpful for all of you. So I'm trying to figure out how we're going to share it, but we will share it. I had bariatric surgery on October the 6th, and I often don't know what food will turn my stomach from hour to the next. How do I plan in this situation? Give yourself options. And just know if something's turning your stomach, I would never call that breaking my plan. So like you've had surgery, it would just be like when Chris has his surgery, you know, like he can plan what he's going to eat, but if something's turning his stomach, he's just going to eat something else because that is a thought process we do want. If my body doesn't agree with it, I don't need to eat it. That is like a thought we want to keep. That's very different than, ooh, I just don't like this and I want something else. Like I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I want to eat this instead. That's not a thought process behind food that we want to keep. That's how we end up overweight. So like for you, I would just not worry about it, Janelle. I would just be like, I'm going to plan the best I can. If something turns my stomach, I'm going to make a really good choice for the next thing. And I'm going to learn a lot. And that's exactly how I'm going to adapt to my new things. Have what fear feels like an irrational fear of some catastrophic event happening that will derail me in my progress with losing weight. It's probably not irrational since this has happened to me in the past. Like, why should I try since something's going to happen and I'll have to abandon myself to take care of someone else? So that's the work for you. I want you to think about this. In the past, you think the only option was to abandon yourself. Now, this is what I want to tell you, Michelle. Good. That was the only way that you knew how to handle a catastrophe. It was the only way that you knew how to like handle a crisis was to just set yourself aside and go all in. But what you've learned is, I bet you there is a way to handle a crisis in life and not abandon myself. I bet there's a way for there to be a crisis in life and to have my own back. Like I'm learning new thinking skills in no BS. I'm learning new feeling skills in no BS. I'm like becoming a different person, which means the next catastrophe, the next big event, I'm going to be a new person. I won't be the old person that showed up the last time. I'm going to be this new version of me. And so for now, in order to settle your nervous system, write about how the new version of you has a catastrophe and doesn't get derailed. How do you keep doing all of it? That's what you do. This reminds me, Michelle, of when, so I'd lost my weight, whereas I'd regained my weight every fucking time I'd ever lost weight, you know, growing up and whatnot. And I'd had my weight off for, I believe, like 2 years. And then Logan was diagnosed with autism. And our life literally turned upside down in like a day. And I mean a day. We found out like on a Tuesday. And by Wednesday morning, we had flown to New Jersey for an autism conference. And when I came home on Friday, I literally threw every food that we had in our house away, headed straight for Whole Foods, where, and this is back in the day when the gluten-free section was half a shelf. You did not have gluten-free everywhere, but they were telling us back then that our babies had to be gluten-free or we were killing them. And so I came home and I was going to have to cook everything from scratch, including ketchup. I was going to have to refigure out how we were going to eat as a family, how we were going to live. Plus, I liked working out. And now my baby was going to have therapy, plus go to school several times a week. And where he was going to have therapy was a 90-minute round trip every single time I took him. I decided in the face of catastrophe that I would not regain my weight over this, that I was going to figure out how to streamline life so that I could still exercise each day, because that was a gift I'd given myself and I never wanted to give it up again. How I was going to continue to eat in a way to keep my weight off, how I was going to take care of my child and grow a business at the same time. Now, I gave up a lot of my social life. I made some trades, but I consciously decided everything that I was going to do in order to make sure the most important things in my life were done. And that's what I'm doing right now, even with Chris. It's not as dramatic as, you know, what we went through back then. But I think sometimes that we think, like, the way that you're talking about it is like, this just happens to me. A catastrophe strikes and I just like lose myself. No one can lose themselves. You make decisions to either be with yourself or to lose yourself. But you're always deciding every single time, y'all. I just want you to choose consciously and wisely. That's it. My normal weigh-in day is Fridays. Should I change it to tomorrow morning so I'm not weighing in the morning after Thanksgiving? Not because I think I'm going to overeat, but because I know I'll be eating things that aren't part of what I eat in the norm. It's fine. It's whatever you want to do, Canada. I don't know if it's Canada or Kanata, but however you pronounce it. Here's a couple of ways you can look at it. Sometimes I would just weigh in on Thursday, been like, I'm just going to go with the Thursday weigh-in. I know my scale is likely to be up. And if I don't want to manage my mind around it, I'm just going to do it today. But back on track, I know I'm not going to overeat, but I don't want to set myself up for doo-doo thoughts. That's fine. That's you making a conscious decision. For some of you, you're like, I'm just going to weigh in on Friday. I know my weight's likely to be up. I'm going to eat foods I'm not used to. I'm going to have extra sodium. Maybe you're planning to eat a little bit more than you normally do. Like, you might be planning to overeat a little bit. You're doing it consciously and you're just like, but I'm going to use it. Like, I'm just not going to get upset about it. Like, having one meal that's planned where I'm eating the foods I love and stuff is not a problem. Even if my weight goes up a little bit, that doesn't mean I'm getting fat. Doesn't mean I'm gaining weight. It means my body's adjusting because I ate some things that are different. Either way, I just want you to like your reasons. I just like, this is the important thing. It's not whether y'all do or do not weigh. It is, why am I deciding to do it? And I want to set myself up to where I'm making my choice because I love myself, I respect myself, and I'm taking authority and control over my life, which means I could weigh in on Thursday and be like I do that very often. A lot of times when I come back from trips, I have had times where I'm like, I don't give a shit. I already know the scale's going to be up. It's not a big deal. And it's kind of motivating to say like, okay, my weight went up. That means it's easier for me to get back on plan when I get home. And I'm like, oh yeah, my weight went up a little bit. I want to make sure I drink my water, blah, blah, blah. It's going to offer me a host of good thinking. There are other times in my life where I'm not in the same place. And I'm like, you know what? There's no way in hell I'm going to weigh after I get back from vacation. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to give myself a few days. I'm going to get my water in. I'm going to get back to my normal eating and stuff. I'm going to let it mellow out because I know I'm likely to think some shit. If I'm likely to think some shit, I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to wait until this day. And I'm going to tell myself how I'm going to live until that day. It's all from this deciding how to be there for yourself in the best possible light. We are visiting my in-laws for Thanksgiving. My mother-in-law is incredibly judgmental and I have never felt good enough. All right. That's not her fault. She can judge you all day long and you can still feel good enough. You can still feel amazing about yourself. Remember, she's going to have words. And then you are applying thoughts like she's judgmental. I'm not good enough. This means that instead of like, there she goes again, but here's what I choose to believe in me. Or there she goes again, saying these things. She's just wrong. She's super opinionated and I don't give a shit. Like, I can just nod and smile and agree knowing what my truth is. I'm going to give you some insider information, Jessica. My mother-in-law does not like me. Well, I won't say that's for true, though. I think she's got a better relationship with me, but for years, like when When we set a goal for Chris to come work for me and to retire his 25-year career, she literally said that he was making the biggest mistake of his life and that my business was like I was a charlatan. Like, she had a lot of thoughts about me. She would watch my Facebook lives and she would say that a lot of not so great things. Let's just put it that way. Basically that I wasn't a good businesswoman. I was doomed to fail. He was ruining his life. He shouldn't listen to me, all kinds of things. And I was just like, all right, watch me. Like, when Chris, I'll be real honest with y'all. We do well. And when Chris, when you see my Life Coach Live speech, you'll see, I asked him, how much money does my business need to make in order for us to have a good salary for both of us to where we can take care of Logan, pay for our own insurance, do all the things. And he was like, $4 million. Now, $4 million sounds like a lot. That doesn't mean the Crabtrees take home $4 million. When you run a business, you don't take home near as much of that. You're taking home about 20% total at the end of the day after tax, and I still got to pay my taxes and stuff. But still, well, I make well over 10 now. So I'm just like, I'm glad I didn't get upset. You know what I'm glad? I'm glad that when she called me a charlatan and all this other stuff, that I didn't make it mean that I wasn't good enough. I'm really glad that I didn't eat over it. I'm really glad that I did all that. What I'm really proud of myself for is believing in me enough to not believe her opinion, to not get triggered by her opinion. I'm very proud of me for doubling down to prove her wrong. You can be the same way. There's nothing that your mother, you said, she sends me into shame eating habit. She doesn't send you there. She says words. And if Jessica doesn't manage her mind and believe in herself and talk to herself and calm herself down when she's triggered, then Jessica chooses to go down the shame eating habit. That's the thought you need to adopt. The mother-in-law does nothing but say words. And the mother-in-law's wrong. And when you decide it's not because she's judgmental, when you decide she's wrong, she offers a lot of wrong things about me. I know my truth. I know who I am. You have no reason to eat anymore. But if you decide that she's got some kind of power and that she has like some way to send you here, then here's the problem, Jessica. The only way that you won't eat from her words is we got to change the mother-in-law. And I'm going to tell you, if she's anything like mine, she ain't changing. No time soon. There's only one person that can change, and that's going to be you. Your mother-in-law is your teacher for how you're going to have resilient self-esteem. Your mother-in-law is the best professor in the school of never eating over shame again. She's putting you through the master course. And you need to step up into it. Because if you cannot eat over shit, she says, just imagine how much easier your weight loss gets. Let her be your tool to lose your weight, not the reason why you choose to eat. My sister doesn't come to family functions since we lost her daughter. Since she lost her daughter in a car accident, I feel like I lost them both, and I'm working on managing my mind around this. Sometimes I'm angry at her for cutting her off herself from us. Any suggestions on how to address this with her, or should I even address it with her and just keep working on how I feel? Like, we don't address anything with anyone when we haven't cleaned our own mind up yet. You are choosing to be hurt, and you are choosing to be angry about this. You have thoughts like, I've lost both of them, instead of, I bet my sister's still in pain. I want you to imagine if you were having compassion for her and understanding, would you feel so disconnected from her? You're making it mean like, well, when her physical presence is in the room, that's how I feel that's how I feel connected. Physical presence doesn't connect to anyone. Just like when I'm in the room with my mother-in-law, I don't always feel very connected just because she's sitting right there. What connects us is our thinking. So your work, Connie, right now is to be thinking about how can I feel connected to my sister, connect with her pain, connect with her reasons as to why she may not want to be at family functions, connect with what she might be going through so that you can develop empathy, understanding, compassion first, then connect with what your own wants and desires are. And do you want to communicate those? But you're only going to communicate them from a place of love, not from anger. That's going to go over, as they say, like a fart in church. Never goes over well. So your work is to do yours, because you even said, should I address this with her? Right now, the only thing you're going to address is how butthurt you are that she doesn't come to family functions. But you won't be addressing her needs, where she might be at. The best way to talk to people is to be able to talk to people from the space of, no matter what they say, I can still love them. So do some of that work on paper first. That's it. That was all the questions, y'all. All right. Y'all have an amazing holiday if you're celebrating. If not, I'll probably see you tomorrow in the Facebook group. I'll be in there a little bit tomorrow checking in on everybody, because I know that my friends make fun of me for working on the holidays, but I always tell them, for some of my members, the holidays were the hardest days ever. So if you're lonely, it's not a great holiday for you and that kind of thing, always know that you can come to our Facebook group. There will be plenty of people there to support you. You do not have to be alone. You do not have to feel isolated. You can come in there and you can talk about how you're feeling. I know a lot of you will be very happy. A lot of you will be celebrating, you know, for the first time ever, food freedom, to be able to go to Thanksgiving and eat the things you want, but leave the table comfortably instead of like bloated like the turkey and regretting all weekend. I just want y'all to be very intentional about how you spend your holiday, however you choose to spend it. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.